Mrs. Brown, you've got a lovely daughter.
All right, Bill, I thought this was such a fantastic idea, but Louise Brown is rolling her eyes. Yeah. I think she's heard this several times before.
We thought we'd do something original, and it came back to bite us, didn't it?
It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. Welcome to the stream here on WGN Radio. It's really an honor to meet the world's first test tube baby, Louise Joy Brown. Welcome.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
And America's first test tube baby, Elizabeth Jordan Carr. Welcome.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
I have to tell you, I had an ovarian cyst back in 1983, and I lost an ovary. And I remember thinking, I'm never going to have children. But then hearing about you two, I said, there is hope for me. Do you know how many women you have paved the way for, both of you?
Well, I know there's over 6 million IVF babies, so
6 million worldwide?
Yes.
Yeah?
Oh, yes.
Wow.
I
that's
hate to
amazing.
Think how many couples and people they've helped.
Today was the first time the two of you have met, is that correct?
That's right.
All right. So there are obviously things in common. What's the discussion been between the two of you all day today?
I think we're both just relieved that we finally got to meet each other and understand that somebody else knows what our wacky life has been like.
Yeah.
Because she's really the only other person who knows what it's been like to grow up like this. This is just our life. I mean, you know, yeah. Most other people don't do press all day long, right?
Right. You've both been under a spotlight. I don't want to start a rift between the two of you, but I got to be honest, Louise, you're the more famous of the two.
We're the same.
So, Louise, you are going to be celebrating your 40th birthday coming up in July?
39th
birthday.
40 next year.
All right. That's awesome. And, Elizabeth, do you mind sharing your age?
Yeah, I'm 35.
That's amazing to me.
That it's been so long. Yeah.
And struggles. Have there been health issues? Have there been anything? It's just been business as usual.
Yeah, I'm just completely normal.
Well, as far as we know, anyway,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I mean,
nobody's really truly normal, no. I don't think.
But those first few years, those formative years, because you were both under spotlights, that had to have been pretty challenging, I'd imagine, huh?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. But that was all we knew. I didn't know anything before, and I grew up with people interviewing me, taking pictures, people taking an interest.
Yeah.
So it's... Nor is our lives. That's how we deal with things.
Sure.
So.
Right.
I'd like to pull Dr. Amber Cooper into the conversation. Hi, Dr. Cooper. Your accolades are so long. Why don't you tell us where you work currently? And what does FACOG mean?
It just means Fellow of American College of OBGYN. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Now, you've all come together for this Midwest Reproductive Symposium that's going to be happening at the Drake Hotel. And the public is invited starting tomorrow. Is that correct?
That's correct. Tomorrow afternoon after 2:30 p.m.
There are a lot of women out there, and men, I would think, too, that have a lot of questions. Fertility has become a problem for many, many people.
Absolutely. It's estimated 1 in 8 couples struggle with infertility, and some statistics suggest even more, upwards of maybe even 1 in 5.
Wow.
Yeah.
Anything that you can find that is contributing to that? Is it environmental? Is it...
I think that's a great question. I think it's multifactorial. I think there's an underlying probably genetic component. There is definitely a dietary nutrition component and definitely thought to be an environmental component as well.
That's pretty fascinating.
The most frustrating is with my wife and myself when we were having a hard time conceiving, they would test both of us and I tested fine and she tested fine and they said that's the worst possible scenario.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's tricky. There are a number of couples, maybe 30% or so, that fall into that unexplained category.
Right.
And while in some ways you don't want a diagnosis per se, you want to know why. And
right.
That's what couples struggle with. And I think it's partially due to limitations in our testing abilities.
Yeah.
We don't know if it's a fertilization issue or it's how the embryo travels down the fallopian tube or implantation in the uterus because we don't have the perfect test to always figure that out.
Yep.
Louise Joy Brown is with us along with Elizabeth Jordan Carr. Do you remember your doctors? Obviously you do.
Yes. Yeah. For me, Doctors Howard and Georgiana Jones were in Virginia, and they were, you know, practically my grandparents. You know, every birthday, Christmas, would call me when I was applying to colleges. They both wanted to know exactly where I was going, what I was doing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when I was pregnant with my son, they were like, which hospital? Do they have a NICU? What's going on? You know, so, yeah, very involved.
And
yeah.
Louise?
Patrick Steptoe unfortunately died when I was 10. So, we did keep in touch and I used to go and see him. And like Elizabeth said, they're just like extra grandparents. They were so special. Bob Edwards was fantastic as well. He actually died in 2013. So I knew Bob a lot more than I knew Patrick. Keep in touch with the family. I speak to, Patrick Steptoe's son. I speak to Bob Edwards' daughters. So yeah, we keep in touch and it's a very special relationship.
Dr. Steptoe, much like yourself, became a household name. I mean, I remember him being on the covers of magazines and it was such a revolutionary thing. Why did this take so long? Why was it until 39 years ago and 35 years ago for these procedures to have been successful?
Yeah, I mean, these are pioneers in the field. I mean, they really are. They're the physicians that took care of them really led the way. And back then, we didn't quite have the same technological advances that we do now.
Yeah.
And success rates were incredibly low. And maybe you would retrieve one or two eggs. And maybe fertilization rates would be under 50%. So success rates, these two women are true miracles and pioneers in the field.
Yeah. Do you feel like miracles? Does it feel... you don't feel like a miracle.
It's just business as usual for you.
This is just our life.
Yeah.
Now, have you had conversations with your parents? Because I imagine, especially in your case, Louise, when you were the first in vitro fertilization in the world, were they scared? Were they... How did they feel about this whole process as the doctor mentioned that it wasn't always successful?
Mum didn't know that it hadn't actually worked. She believed she was going to be pregnant. Patrick Steptoe was a gynecologist, so there were babies and parents going to and from. So Mum seen this and just assumed it had worked.
Right.
But she did truly believe that she would have a baby at the end of it. And she did. And I believe it was a one egg retrieval.
Wow.
Because that's what was available back.
Wow. So the odds were so far against this happening.
Yeah.
And yet it happened.
Positive mental attitude.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about in your case, Elizabeth? Did you talk to your parents about this? Were they scared? Were they skeptical?
You know, Mom always says that they were both blissfully unaware that they were going to be the first.
Yeah.
Because there was actually a group of 10 other patients that were down at the clinic in Virginia where I was born going through this regimen. And since it was unproven in the U.S., the doctors weren't sure which of the combinations of things were going to work. And so, you know, my mom and dad always said you were rooting for the other people as much as you were rooting for yourself.
Sure.
And you didn't want them to fail, but you wanted you to be successful. And, you know, they all had no idea who was going to hit the jackpot.
Yeah.
Dr. Amber Cooper, this question would go well for you. What has changed in the whole IVF thing? Because it seems to be more successful now than ever.
Yeah, many things have actually changed. We use more medications, so we push women's ovaries a little harder to retrieve a few more eggs. We're able to access those eggs and retrieve those eggs transvaginally instead of big laparoscopic surgeries that used to happen. And we have better techniques to help fertilization and improved the embryo culture system when we culture embryos out to the blastocyst stage. So we're able to actually have better success even with a single embryo transfer and minimize the risk of multiples.
Louise's procedure and Elizabeth's procedure were roughly 4 years apart.
Mm-hmm.
Did much change in those 4 years or not?
And not so much in those 4 years,
no.
A little bit, but it's been a lot more in the last probably 15 years or so. It's really taken off.
So what happened that 4 years passed? You would have thought, or I would have thought anyway, that once Louise's situation was a success, that here in America and all over the world, they'd be doing exactly whatever they could to make that happen over and over again.
I mean, that's a great question. I think Elizabeth, I learned today she was the 15th in
the
world.
Yeah.
So really, I mean, that's not very many deliveries in those years. But I think it was partially the success rates. It was access to clinics that were doing this.
Oh.
Because, you know, it really, right. There were not very many clinics in the world that were practicing in vitro fertilization.
That's why I was born in Virginia. It was illegal in Massachusetts where I'm from. And so my parents were traveling to and from Massachusetts down to Virginia just to have this procedure done because it wasn't legalized in a lot of states. Because people were saying,
why?
Playing God, you know, designer babies, all this kind of
stuff.
There
were a lot of battles in many states at first,
absolutely,
weren't there?
And actually, there was a pretty substantial battle that Dr. Jones went through in Virginia just to get the clinic up and running. And really, you know, to your question of what took so long?
Yeah.
Money.
Mm-hmm. Is that what it came down
money.
To?
The only reason they opened the Jones Institute is because somebody asked Dr. Howard, what's it going to take for this to happen in the States? And he said, money.
Yeah.
And then the next day, an anonymous check showed up for just the amount of money it was going to take to open a clinic. Mm-hmm. And that's really why, you know, I'm here.
I have an 18-year-old neighbor and friend that has been battling cancer successfully at this point, but has had a lot of chemotherapy. And at 18, she has decided to get some eggs extracted and frozen. This is unheard of years ago, and now because of all this, that's pretty common as well, correct?
Correct. Even at our clinic, Vios Fertility Institute, we have an oncofertility program. You know, before, we were freezing embryos decades ago. Embryos are sort of a tight ball of small cells, but it was really the freezing techniques. It's called vitrification, which is an immediate glass-like state that really has changed the field for egg freezing, where one large cell can tolerate the freeze and thaw process.
Yeah.
It's changed the field for cancer patients as well, yes.
I'm still so hung up on the fact that Massachusetts made it this illegal. Is it, like, as of today, are there any of the 50 states where this is illegal? Because in Massachusetts, you can go to Fenway. There's a booth at Fenway where you can have this done now without a problem.
To get free tickets.
So it's not necessarily that it's illegal, but it's Massachusetts is one of the very first states in the U.S. that had really great insurance coverage, and it was fought for. And so if you go to different states, there's varying insurance coverage. So some states may have programs where it's covered by your insurance, and other states it's not covered, and it's entirely out of your pocket, and it's not cheap.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about that a little bit. Dr. Cooper, it isn't cheap, as you mentioned, Elizabeth. If you don't have insurance, what could this cost?
Yeah, roughly average in the U.S., probably anywhere from $12,000 to $17,000 per cycle if you have no insurance coverage.
For one cycle.
Per cycle. Yes.
And it takes sometimes multiple cycles.
Yes.
I remember my wife was on a drug called Clomid,
mm-hmm.
right? And
yep.
And that cycle was a very expensive, and the IVF was out of our league. We just couldn't come close to it. Insurance luckily covered a fairly decent part of it, but boy, that for somebody who wants a child so badly and can't afford it, that's just devastating.
Absolutely. And there's very few states, as Elizabeth said, in the U.S. that actually have coverage that are what we call mandate states in the country. There's really only probably maybe four complete mandate states and maybe only a dozen or so partial mandate states. And by that means that if your employer has a large enough company that they actually do have to provide you infertility therapy coverage.
Yeah.
Unless, of course, there's a religious reason or there's a union or they opt out of it.
Louise, do you know, is it similar in England or is it different?
Yeah, it's very similar. A government in the UK fund a certain amount.
Yeah.
But in the UK, I think it's suggested that they should fund three rounds of it, because then that generally ends up as a success.
After three rounds.
But a lot of... a lot of places don't cover.
No.
So it's something that it needs to be dealt with.
Without a doubt.
Over the whole entire world, not just the UK, not just the US, but the whole entire world.
Why did it take so long for you guys to meet? Seriously.
I think we've been asking that our entire lives.
Yeah.
I would have thought you guys would have become pen pals when you could learn how to write.
We FaceTimed a few months ago. But I think it's also just been, you know, as much as you want to meet the other person, she's all the way across the world.
Right.
You know, it's not exactly easy to get over there.
But you got somewhere to stay when you want to go see
you. Do. But, you know, I mean, it's like we have lives, we have families, we have schedules, we have all, you know, it's amazing that it could all come together in Chicago. And if it wasn't for the MSRI conference, you know, we wouldn't be able to do this.
No. It was so moving to see them meet on stage.
I bet.
I think I looked around and everyone had tears in their eyes.
Included.
Elizabeth, I know you have children. How many kids?
Just one.
Just one. Mm-hmm. And Louise, I don't know if you do or do not.
Yeah, two boys.
All right. So what have those conversations been like with your kids as you explain to them that you guys were just under such a spotlight when you were born?
My oldest is 10 years old, so he's doing sex education at school at the moment. And he used to wonder, why, Mummy, why are you in the paper? Why are you on TV? My friend saw you. So I just told him that Nanny needed help from Patrick Steptoe and Bob Edwards.
Oh, yeah?
to have me, and I've left it at that at the moment.
Yeah.
And my other son is only 2 and 3 and a half, so he's oblivious.
Nothing yet.
He'll have better questions when he gets to be 10. What about your children?
My 6-year-old, I have 1 6-year-old son, and he's very outgoing. So he has learned, he's very adept at saying, mom was the first IVF baby in the U.S. But he doesn't have any understanding of what that means, and he just says, you're gonna go be on TV again, or you're gonna go be on the cover of a magazine or whatever. And so it's totally normal for him too. It's very funny that it's totally normal for him.
They just adapt, don't they? Kids just adapt.
They do
very much.
And this may be too personal, did you have your children through IVF or no?
So the only reason my mother had fertility issues was she actually had scar tissue from a botched appendix surgery, so her tubes were damaged, but other than that she had no fertility issues, and so my fertility was never a question. So I had a completely normal, quote-unquote, childbirth, other than the fact that the cameras were there to capture it as soon as I was done having my son.
That's where you don't want the cameras.
Yeah.
You really don't. And Louise?
I didn't have IVF. Mine were both natural. I'm not sure how mum had it, but mum's fallopian tubes were damaged. So that was why she couldn't conceive naturally. So I guess they were just waiting and watching to see if I could conceive naturally. And I did, so luckily.
Good. Very, very good.
I am completely honored to meet each of you, and you have just really paved the way for so many happy parents out there right now, and I can't thank you enough on behalf of them.
Thank you for having us.
Absolutely. And tell us a little about the Midwest Reproductive Symposium International. It's happening tomorrow at the Drake Hotel, 140 East Walton Place. Questions will be answered. It's open to the public. Give us a little more information, Dr. Cooper.
Yeah, this is the Midwest Reproductive Symposium International. It's been going on for over a decade, and reproductive specialists and providers from all over the country and world come in for the meeting. So the scientific session is going on right now, today and tomorrow, but we are opening it to the public for public day after 2:30 p.m. tomorrow.
I bet people have a lot of questions.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is there a website we can send people to get information?
Yes. So, they can go to the MRSISymposium.com or just Google Midwest Reproductive Symposium. There's several websites that come up.
Very good. Ladies, thank you all for being here. We really appreciate it. We really do. We'll take a quick break. We've got news next and then more show coming your way after that. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Judy, do you have a tattoo?
I do.
You do? So do I. Bill, you do not?
I don't have any tattoos.
Because it hurts? You didn't want to get one?
Yeah, I'm afraid of needles. So I'd have to have a Cracker Jack tattoo.
And believe me, it's a needle.
It's a serious needle.
For about an hour just on your back. You know what? It doesn't feel like a needle. It feels like a razor.
Does it really?
Yeah.
Oh, you certainly talked me into it.
Yeah.
I have a small one on my ankle, a hibiscus tattoo. And as it was going on, I was kind of getting into the groove of it. So I can't say I was liking it, but I wasn't hating it.
It didn't hurt at all? There was no pain involved?
Not like boo-hoo. It hurt so bad. It's just...
Yeah, you could stand it. Yeah.
It feels like burning to me.
Yeah, right?
A little bit. But,
exactly.
But then, Kevin, you know what I mean? Like, as it's going on, you kind of get the groove going, and it's not really bothersome.
Well, you're in shock a little bit. That's what happens.
Is that right? Yeah.
No, I'm kidding.
Well, my husband Jimmy Mack is an audio producer, so he deals with sound waves all the time. You do too when you edit things, because now there are digital editing, so you see a sound wave. I thought I had this really great idea, so I recorded myself saying my kid's name, Michael Dylan, and I looked at the sound wave and I blew it up and I thought, that's going to be my next tattoo.
That is cool.
It looks kind of tribal. It looks kind of unique. And I thought I was very original in my idea. Turns out not so much. Mm. There's a whole Pinterest page about these
Pinterest
audio wave tattoos. And now it gets even bigger and better. Nate Sigurd is on the line with us, the founder and CEO of Skin Motion. All right, Nate, I saw this article where you can take sound wave tattoos, and it goes one step farther. You can get audio from it.
That's right.
I thought I was an original creator of these tattoos. Explain the whole concept behind Skin Motion, because this is pretty amazing.
Yeah, so it's great to hear that you actually had that idea, and that's how we came up with it in the first place. A couple friends of mine were getting a tattoo from Elton John's Tiny Dancer, and as they were leaving after the tattoo appointment, my girlfriend Juliana suggested, wouldn't it be cool if we could play that sound back? And I realized, using some technology that I've been using for different art projects and stuff, that I'd be able to make that happen. And so I built a demo and made a video and put it up on the internet. And next thing you know, the video went viral, and now there's people all over the world who want to get one.
So, Nate, you mean that because of the tattoo and the way it's situated, you could hear the song Tiny Dancer?
Well, the way that the app works is actually using image recognition. So we're doing a tattoo based on the audio.
Yeah.
We're generating the tattoo from the audio.
Yeah.
And then we're using that image to create the tattoo. And then once the tattoo is created, we train the app to be able to recognize it.
All right.
So that it's able to play it back.
Do you have to pay residuals?
That is the best question that Nate wishes you didn't ask.
I probably shouldn't ask. It's none of my business. You don't have to answer that.
Well, we're requiring that when the user uploads audio, that they agree that they have the rights to whatever they're uploading. And because we don't ever come into contact with that, it's on them. So if something ends up needing to get taken down one day or whatever.
But it's the equivalent of buying a song on iTunes, essentially, because then you have kind of implied rights to the song. It's a similarity, right?
You know, I think it's an interesting discussion once we start talking about things like augmented reality and licensing for intellectual property. No one's really crossed that boundary yet.
Right.
And
thanks, Bill.
Yeah,
I'm just curious.
Well, you know, it's an interesting problem, but it's one that we're gonna come up against a lot over the next decade as augmented reality really takes hold. So we're happy to be among the first.
I just don't want ASCAP to take your arm away from you. I don't want ASCAP to come in and just take my arm away.
But yeah.
Now, in order to make these, because the one that I did, my vision was just the actual sound wave, a picture of it. This is embedded with something. So when you purchase the Skin Motion app, is this a free app? Is there a charge for the app? Because that's what will make the tattoo come to life.
Right.
Right. So the app itself is free. That way, we'll be able to download it and then try it out, see how it works and everything. But there is going to be a one-time fee at the beginning that activates your tattoo so that it is recognizable by the app.
Is this done? I suppose you don't want to give away some of your secrets, although now that you are the pioneers, you will have a lot of other people trying to do this as well. Is it much like one of those scan codes that you see on things?
Right, it's kind of a more artistic version of a QR code.
Right, that's
it. The way that it's playing back, we have a lot of creative freedom, and I think there's going to be a lot of really interesting ways that people end up using the technology beyond what we've designed it to do, and that's something that's really exciting. We can't wait to see how everybody adapts it like that.
Yeah. Nate, as of today, what percentage of your business over at Skin Motion are these type of tattoos, would you say?
Well, we actually started Skin Motion specifically to be able to make sound wave tattoos.
Oh, so originally, they're all sound wave.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. So I'm a tattoo artist. I'm a painter. I'm a media creator, and I created the first one, and after it went viral, we started getting like hundreds of messages from people saying that they wanted to get a sound wave tattoo for someone that they had lost, somebody who'd passed away. And so it was really apparent to us that this was actually something that needed to be more than, you know, I was going to offer them in LA myself, and we started getting messages from people all over the world who wanted to get them, and I realized I wouldn't be able to do them all myself. So we came up with an idea to partner with tattoo artists all around the world. We're signing them up right now on our tattoo artist network. And that way, people are going to be able to get sound wave tattoos all over. So really, the Skin Motion app and company only came into existence because of the fact that there are so many people who want these. And so we had to start the company to make it possible for them.
Congratulations on that. Nate Sigurd, founder and CEO of Skin Motion and their sound wave tattoos. So say like someone, me, in Chicago wants to get one of these. You are pre-qualifying tattoo artists. How do I find someone who's participating in this Skin Motion sound wave tattoos here in Chicago?
So we're going through right now. Artists have applied from over 30 countries, and I'm actually personally going through them and reviewing them to make sure that everybody is going to be able to provide the highest quality product for our customers. And you can go to skinmotion.com. There's an artist directory on there. We're adding new artists every day. I don't think there's one in there for Chicago yet, but there are a few who have applied. So it should only be a matter of time now
be
until
patient,
we've got
Wendy.
Someone in. In your neck of the woods.
Yeah, but don't just pre-approve someone to get someone in Chicago. I want to make sure they're really good.
Yeah.
Yeah, for
licensed
sure.
And bonded.
So Tiny Dancer was the first one that you guys came up with. Was that like your prototype?
Yeah, there was a tattoo that I was doing on a couple of friends of mine. It was actually two girlfriends of mine, and they just wanted to get a Tiny Dancer tattoo as like a friendship tattoo. A lot of people get tattoos with their friends kind of to mark a memento occasion in time or something. And, they had no intention of being able to ever play it back, kind of like those ones that you saw on Pinterest. There's a lot of people who have been getting sound wave form tattoos for a while. And it really wasn't until Juliana came up with the idea that we should be able to play it back that, you know, all of these different technologies and areas of specialty that I've been working on all kind of clicked as one thing. And really, I think it was the right place at the right time that we realized this is something we could do. And clearly, you know, a lot of people agree that something they're really excited to be able to get to.
Nate, if I was going to do music, I would do Frank Sinatra doing I've Got You Under My Skin. Wouldn't that make the most sense?
That's a great idea.
Yeah.
That's a good promo for you guys.
Think about it.
Bill Leff is his name. He needs some kind of a percentage there for a
so
great idea.
The people who do, like the voice of somebody that they've lost, like where are you getting that audio, and what do they tend to have them saying? Is there some pattern?
So, a lot of them are coming from voicemails, actually. You'd be surprised how many people keep voicemails of someone after they've passed away and then, like, continually re-listen to those voicemails. And so that's a big source. Another place is from home videos. A lot of people who have their kids have passed away from cancer or other situation kind of like that. They have videos of their kids when they were little, you know, they want them laughing, or, even parents who've lost their children who want to get their heartbeats from their sonograms.
That's sweet.
The doctor's appointment. Yeah.
But it doesn't have to be so somber either. You know, for instance, maybe the first word your kid ever says, you might want to record that and make a tattoo of it. Maybe you have, I love my dog Tiki. I love his bark. You know, he's getting older.
Yeah.
You can use a pet sound. Sorry, Brian Wilson.
Yeah, that was our idea. Yeah, my tattoo is the one in the video, actually, and it's the one with Juliana saying I love you and our daughter Lyra kind of squeaking in the background, and then Juliana wanted to get one, and so she got one of her dog, Bachi, actually howling, and both of those tattoos are actually up on our website. You can go check them out.
I've seen them. I love them. That's why we had to have you on. I thought this was such a cool new concept, and it needs to come to Chicago sometime soon. So if anyone's listening, because we are streaming to the world, and I know people listen in other cities, go to skinmotion.com, and you can, plug in your zip code and find out if someone is available in your town or city?
Yeah, right now the artist directory is set up on the website. You can go check it out, and it will definitely, I think we've got artists right now from 6 different countries. So definitely give it a look, see if there's someone near you. If there's not, feel free to hit up a tattoo artist that is local to you and encourage them to apply.
Nate, you're obviously an innovator, so this is something that 5 or 10 or 20 years ago nobody thought could ever be reality, but it is. What do you think will happen in 5 or 10 or 20 years down the road?
You know, this is a really exciting time. I think we've got a huge wave of technology that's about to come through, especially with augmented reality and virtual reality.
Can I suggest something?
You know, tattoos?
Can I suggest something that I know is crazy? Some sort of a holographic tattoo.
Oh.
Don't you think that'd be cool to have
like
a
holo- you're our only hope, R2-D2
that
kind
would
of
be
thing
all right.
With Princess Leia?
Yeah, any kind of a hologram in tattoo form. I think that'd be pretty cool.
So we have been experimenting now with new ways to be able to use the platform that we're building in order to do more advanced kind of things. And so I've got a couple of tattoos on me that we've started working on, some more advanced, like hologram kind of features. But really, I think the thing that has stood out the most is they're really a personal museum of memories that we get to store on our bodies now. And not only that, we get to share them with other people, because you've got to really love something. It's got to really mean a lot to you to get it as a tattoo and to have it be there forever.
Yeah.
And to be able to add the extra layer of sense, you know, of sight or of sound, and to be able to, you know, share that with other people, the ideas and options are kind of limitless. And so, you know, we're really excited to start working with other tattoo artists, see what ideas they have, how can we empower them? Because really, you know, we want the people who want to expand their tattoos to get the most out of them. We want tattoo artists to have an entirely new platform to be able to build out their tattoos on. You know, it's like a new creators forum, where they get to expand on their creativity too. And, you know, I think that's a big driving factor of our motivation as well.
You and your wife, geniuses, I gotta tell you, Nate, you really are.
Well, thank you.
Bill, why don't you tell Nate Sigurd, the founder and CEO of Skin Motion, you don't have a tattoo, but
no.
If you got one, tell him. This is killer.
I want to get one of my favorite actors of all time, Hervé Valachez, who played Tattoo on Fantasy Island, so it would be essentially a tattoo.
That's awesome.
You and Nate are fast
with your
friends.
Technology, you could run a scanner over it, and he would, you know, the plane. Every time you wanted to hear his voice, you could just automatically hear it. I think it's a magical moment for everybody. Don't steal my idea, Nate. Don't steal my idea.
I'm inclined to come out to Chicago and give it to you.
All right.
So just let me know.
Now we're talking.
In no time.
All right. Now we're talking. Good.
We'll keep in touch, because I don't think Bill's ever going to get a tattoo. And he looks very worried now that you've offered
to come out.
I'm
afraid of needles, Nate. So if you can figure out a way to do this without a needle, I might be in.
But see, now this is a whole
just
other
use
thing
Easter
too.
Egg coloring
but
on
you
me.
Mentioned the Cracker Jack tattoos. This is something that could happen, that
right.
You could do, not, you know, temporary tattoos,
sure,
for children with this, like mom saying look both ways when you cross the street.
Yeah,
this, you could do so many things with this, Nate.
Yep.
Yeah, the options are really endless. We're really excited.
That's excellent.
And you didn't have to go on Shark Tank or anything. This is just your own doing.
No, you know, actually Shark Tank called us and tried to get us to go on.
Did they really? Wow, that says a lot. But you turned them down, huh?
Yeah, you know, so far we've been able to build most of the app and get everything going without having to, you know, give away too much to anyone else, which is great, because that way it's going to keep the cost lower for the artists, for the customers. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's awesome. Go to skinmotion.com and watch the video that I watched. And these are your tattoos and your wife's tattoos that we're listening to and watching on the video, correct?
Yep.
Love it. Congratulations on this amazing yet crazy idea. Go to skinmotion.com. They're Soundwave tattoos. So nice to meet you, Nate.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Take care, Nate. Happy Father's Day.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, take care. That's Nate Sigurd, an innovator, a tattoo innovator.
I think this is the coolest thing. I really do.
Yeah.
And when I find an artist in Chicago who can do it, I'm going to do it. But you better be careful what you say, because he
may do it. He may follow suit.
He wants to come to Chicago
so
and give you your tattoo.
What do you have to do to trigger it making the noise?
You have to get the app.
You have to run a phone over it,
well,
right? Because I would like one where you just kind of, I know I'm dreaming here, but where you could just look at it or touch it, or there's a button or something where all of a sudden it just makes the noise. Cause I don't want to have the phone element. I just wanted so where you could just hold your arm up and go, listen to this. And then it makes the noise.
That'll never happen.
I don't think it can, right?
No. I mean, do you know what a QR code reader is?
No.
I forgot what it was called. I'm with you on that. But there's an app that you download, and you know, when you go to anywhere, you go to C2E2, you go to the grocery store, there are these little,
square. Like a box with a weird, it's a series of black ink marks,
yes,
right? I know what that
if
is.
If you can download, there's a free QR reader app.
Yeah.
And then you would just kind of get it within the lines, and it would tell you what that says, because each one of those little things
It's reading information.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that's what you would have to get, the Skin Motion app, and you just kind of hold it over your tattoo and it comes to life.
Mm-hmm.
Rest of the time you just look at it and it's pretty cool
looking. A picture,
yeah. Not a picture, they're sound waves.
Oh, it's just a... See, now, couldn't they combine it and make it a picture that had the sound waves somehow contained within the picture?
You might be the first. You know, like Louise Brown was the first test tube baby. Nate Sigurd said he really liked your tattoo idea.
Yeah.
So that could start him on a whole
billion-dollar idea right there.
Where would you get it?
I can't say.
Your tramp stamp area?
Yeah, I don't wanna, yeah, probably. Yeah.
They're playing.
Right now, that area it's under development right now. There's a couple of real estate companies looking at it, but we got nothing so far. We'll see what happens.
I just think this is the most unique idea I've ever heard.
I'm not a tattoo guy, but this is a good idea.
I'm looking at his portfolio right now, and his standalone just regular tattoos.
Beautiful.
Are really remarkable.
Are they? Yeah. He does good work.
Talented.
And it's so hard to decide to get a tattoo. I mean, I'm going to do a Soundwave one, maybe this one, the Skin Motion.
Mm-hmm.
I also would like to get the Tomahawks from the Blackhawks somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't want to start looking like a piece of art like Kevin is, because, now you just decided.
Oh, you don't want to be like me. Okay,
Kevin,
cool,
what would you say, Kevin? 98% of your body is covered in...
not
even that much?
a quarter of your midsection, right?
I mean, no.
No?
An eighth?
I don't have any on my back or anything.
But you don't know how many you have, because we asked
I've
you...
I've got like 7, 8, maybe 9. I don't know.
Why is 6 afraid of 7?
Is it 8, 9?
7, 8, 9.
Tattoo that says that.
But Bill already has one.
It's just strange that you don't know how many have.
To me, it's like...
They connect.
They start to run into each other, and then when does one become a piece with other, you know?
But how many different times did you go in and have them done?
Probably 7, 8, or 9.
7, 8, or 9, okay.
I got one where I threw a dart at a dartboard, and then whatever it hit, I got that.
See, that to me is just getting a
tattoo
willy-nilly.
That's why he has the number 14. Double 14.
Which one is that?
Full disclosure, I only was going to get the tattoo if it was the picture I wanted. So I did the dart thing, and I just so happened to get what I wanted. It's the little shark back here.
Shark Week's coming up, you know.
I know.
I just am amazed.
I wouldn't want, if I was ever going to get one, and I'm not, but if I were, it wouldn't be something that random. It would take so much thought, because it's forever. At some point, Kevin, you're going to be flabby. At some point.
Never.
No.
And whatever you're getting, it's going to be a flabby version.
I get all that, but it's, you know, I'm not really worried about that.
Right.
I'm just kind of, and at a certain point, like, there's the thought of it has to be a super serious thing, and it's about my dad who died.
Sure.
And blah, blah. But then at the same time, it's like, well, why not do something fun and cool?
Right.
Right.
It should be that.
I don't know if I should show you this, and I don't know if I should mention this on the air.
No, now you have to.
I know.
You definitely have to.
Well, you know my sister-in-law, Sheila, who married Jimmy Katsifaros.
Yeah, Jimmy Katsifaros is
who you
Sheila.
Mention all the time.
Yeah.
Look at Jimmy's back.
Wow, he is completely covered.
Complete back tattoo. He's a Greek
like
god.
He looks like a transformer.
And he's got a lot of Greek mythology on there, and that has taken a while, and it's his entire back.
That's his
back.
Whole back. There's no doubt. There's no empty space.
It's I think it's really cool.
It's a lot of tattoos. But now when he gets old and flabby...
Who cares? Then you keep a shirt on.
And actually, I will say there are a lot of tattoos of old, flabby guys. Or, I'm sorry, not of that, but guys that are old and flabby that are covered in tattoos. And I think it looks pretty cool.
It covers up the fat.
What's that website again, Kevin?
But can I just say, everybody says that when you get old and flabby.
Yeah.
You worry about that then. And why can't you live your life now?
It's not entirely true either.
No.
Look, Google old flabby guys covered in tattoos.
Google Popeye's dad.
Can I just tell you? Pappy? Papi? I don't remember what his name was.
Oh, what was his name?
Pappy, wasn't it?
Was it? Yeah, it might have been Pappy.
Who was Popeye? Was there one?
That's a weekend Popeye does.
Don't Google that.
Right. Not at work.
That was part of my decision for deciding.
Poop deck Pappy.
That's all right, I was halfway there.
You were very close. Yeah,
I got the poop part.
That's what happens when you get old.
But when I maybe flabby in certain areas. Although that brings me to what I'm trying to spit out.
That's why
I decided to get this tattoo on my ankle.
Oh, right.
Quite honestly, my ankle's
that's
probably
gonna
never going to get flabby.
No, of course.
So choose wisely.
All right, we must
I'm going to get poop deck.
on my forehead.
Don't do that.
That won't get flabby either.
Never, never. All right. A break, a much-needed break, and then we'll close the show out. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Bill, I would like to wish you a very happy Father's Day this weekend.
Wendy, a happy Father's Day to you as well.
No, to Jim.
To Jim.
Not to me. And to your father, Kevin.
Yeah, to your young father, Kevin.
Thanks.
And to Sarah's father.
Yeah, I'm sure he's... You guys, you've met him.
Yeah. We're very close.
That's true. You guys hug.
Yeah, we hug. Yep.
There's just a handful of people that you've hugged.
Right. Kevin's father-in-law made that list.
I don't even think I've hugged him, actually, now that I think about it.
He's a good hugger.
Did he give you a good whack on the
very
back?
Very caring. No, he's just... It's a very genuine hug from him. He's a very good hugger. All right, everybody, have a great Father's Day. Thank you for listening. We'll be back on Monday with more things.
Bye, Wendy. Top today's show, though.
Today's show will not be topped.
I enjoyed today's show immensely.
Today's show was the acme, the pinnacle.
So now it's going to explode?
Yeah, it may. Yeah.
Happy Father's Day.
Thank you. Bye, everybody.